So anyway, I just copied a few pages in PowerPoint. I don't know why this doesn't say the Gospel of Matthew up here, but it didn't print it. So anyway, the Gospel of Matthew, so they break it up into these five sermons over here. So Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5-7. And then chapter 10, which it has, so that's where he picks the 12 and sends them out. And chapter 13 is his chapter on the parables. He's got 8 parables in there. And then 18. And then 24 and 25, which they call the, he's on the Mount of Olives, so they call it the Olivet Discourse. And if you flip the page over, so you can see, so after Jesus had finished saying these things, is included 5 times in the Bible, in the book of Matthew. So let's look at 7:28. And this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So, and it was so when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And let's look at 11:1. It came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in the cities. So that's the second one. And 13:53. So when it came to pass, Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. So that's the third one. Fourth one, chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. So that's the fourth. And the fifth is in chapter 26, verse 1. So when it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples. So that's the five. So that's the five times that Jesus finished his sayings, and that's these five over here. And this is broken into 6, but it's pretty much the same as this. So this thing down here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So, I guess unit 1 and the intro go together up there. So, let's go back to Matthew chapter. So, Larry read for us Matthew 1:18. So chapter 2, so this chapter 2, so is the birth of Jesus. And I want to look at 2:12. So, they being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, departed for their own country another way. That's the wise men. In verse 16, and Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were born in Bethlehem. So, in verse 2:19, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. And he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod. So Herod is the guy that tried to kill the babies. And Archelaus is that green area there. So he left, he didn't go to Judea, he went up to Galilee, which was under Antipas. So that's the purple up there. And Philip the Tetrarch is over here on the east side, Decapolis. So that's what they call a Tetrarch. Those are three sons of Herod. So they didn't go to Judea because Archelaus was there, but they went up to Nazareth up there. Archelaus, Judea, following. He was afraid to go there. Verse 2:23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So anyway, that's that map there. So we're going to do this. So we did the red verses, which is the end of this. So chapter 4-7 is a sermon on the John the Baptist. You have some verses up there. Anyway, we're going to start in chapter. So Sermon on the Mount is 5-7. And then he picks the 12 in chapter 10 and 11. So let's look at that one. So chapter 10. So he picks his 12 apostles, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Labius, surnamed Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So that's chapter 10. And then he sends them out in chapter 10. So chapter 10, he sends them out 2 by 2. So that's chapter 10. He departed from there to teach and preach. So I guess we're going to go to 13. So these are the 8 parables in 13. The sower, the tares, the mustard seed, 11 treasures, the great treasure, the pearl of great price, the net and the householder. Chapter 13. So, and at the end of that, you have a let's see, what do you have? He works there because of their unbelief. So anyway, 14 has John the Baptist quite a bit. And he feeds 5,000. 14, 15, 16. Feeds 5,000. Feeds 4,000 in chapter 15. 16, he puts those two together. So 16 verse 9. Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? How many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000? How many large baskets you took up? So that's in the previous two chapters, 14, 15. So let's go to Transfiguration. Who is the greatest? Chapter 18, who is the greatest? So, chapter 18, at that time the disciples, verse 1, came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, and set him in the midst of them, said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, and let's look at verses 20, chapter 20, verse 20. So the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand, one on your, the other on your left in your kingdom. Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit at my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those to whom whom it is prepared by my Father. So, anyway, I think 18 through 20 is about the greatest. So, anyway, let's look at chapter 19. So, chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. So, that's back here. So they came to the Decapolis. So they would go across there and go down. And Judea is down by the Dead Sea. It's hard to see on there. But they would come down there and then go across. So, verse 9, chapter 19. So we're going to talk about divorce and riches. So when he went to across the Jordan, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. 19:3. And the Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.' And they said to him, 'Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?' And he said to them, 'Moses, because of your hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you that whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery.' And the disciples said, 'If such is the case of man with his wife, it is better not to marry.' And he said to them, 'All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are some who are born, some are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it.'" So I'm not allowed to talk about marriage and divorce because I've never been married. But Jesus was never married. Paul was never married. So, and they both talked about it. So I'm going to talk about it. So anyway, except verse 9 says, "Except for sexual immorality, marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." So I don't know. I was talking to a friend down in Tampa, and he knows a guy, Church of Christ, who divorced his wife because it was his second marriage. So he got... So anyway, Homer Haley wrote a book, and he wrote that whenever, so the problem is, what do you do with people who are not Christians? So like some people are on their third or fourth marriage, and then they get baptized and they think that that wipes away everything before that. So anyway, that's what Homer Haley said in his commentary. But, and then a lot of people started believing that. So I'm not one of those, but anyway, you won't see remarriage in the Bible at all. So they have to make a jump from divorce. So if you're divorced, you're allowed to remarry. So you got a problem with people divorced before they become Christians, people divorced after they become a Christian. So, and I think the only solution, so if you talk to people who believe in divorce and remarriage, they don't know what to do with people divorced before remarriage. Homer Haley came up with everything's wiped out before and people divorced after they're, so they can't handle that. So I think the only way to handle it is to believe in that you can't be remarried. So this says, there are those who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Verse 19, 12. And I think it's talking about people who have left their first marriage, or their a divorce and a remarriage, who have left that case and they become single. So I don't know. That's the only way I read it. So verse 16. One came to him, said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went his way sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on his throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who left houses or brothers or sisters, fathers, mother, wife, children, lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first. So I don't know about you, but if I got to apply that to my life, I'm going to hell. So, because you look at the poor people out there on the street corner and stuff like that, I don't want to sell all that I have and give it to them. I don't even want to give them a dollar. So, I don't know, if I had to sell all that I had and give it to the poor, you kind of look at it that they're poor for a reason. So, I don't know. So, anyway, that's the riches part. And then they left for Jericho. 23 has eight woes for the Sadducees, or the scribes and the Pharisees. I don't know why he didn't include the Sadducees. He was a Pharisee. 24. So verse 24, chapter 24, chapter 24, verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to him, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left there upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So that's why it's called the Olivet Discourse. 24 and 25 are. So, because he was on the Mount of Olives. 24, most people take it as the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So, verse 34, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will no means pass away. So that's why they take it as AD 70. So because he says all these things will take place before then. And then 25 has three parables about waiting. Well, the first one is about the virgins. So 10 of them, 5 of them don't have oil, 5 of them have oil for the lamps. So the idea is to be ready when he comes. And the middle parable, so it's the story of the talents. So he gets three people with talents. He gives them different amounts of talents. And the third one doesn't. He hides his stuff. So he gets on his, he yells at him about that. And then the judgment talks about the sheep and the goats. Goats are on the left. Sheep are on the right. So, and then 26 through 28 talk about his crucifixion and stuff. So, Passover, the garden, 6 trials, crucifixion, resurrection, appearances. And that's the Gospel of Matthew. So, if you want to come forward now as we stand and sing, you're welcome to.